Psalm 37 tonight. We'll look at the last verse tonight. The Bible said, "The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them." Notice these last words, because we're good people, because we belong to the Baptist church, because we've been baptized, because we read our Bible, because we pray, because they trust in him. Pray with me a moment. Father, help me tonight to be a help to your precious people. I pray, Lord, you'd go yonder where Jordan is tonight, Lord, to speak to his heart. Lord, don't let up on him. Stay after him, Lord. Help him to be able to recall some of the things that he's heard. Help him, Lord, to come to Jesus. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd make me a blessing to these precious people that are here for prayer meeting. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll remind you tonight that I started out to preach this chapter in one night. I really did. And we ended up, that first night, we got hung up on the progression of faith. And I saw then that what the Lord was doing, we've preached now 9 messages out of the chapter. We preached on the progression of faith, the power of faith, the promise of faith, the paths of faith, the provision of faith, the preservation of faith, the proclamation of faith, the protection of faith. The last one was the perfecting of faith. And tonight I want to close with this thought, the promotion of faith. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are fixing to get promoted. We're going to get a promotion that's out of this world. I'm looking at the word deliver in this text tonight. God delivers his people. The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I thought about something tonight. Listen to me carefully tonight. I believe that maybe this is going back to why the Lord touched my heart to read that text from my grandson. How many of y'all have ever been promoted on the job? Would you raise your hand if you've been bumped up on the job, you've been promoted? Well, this is the thought that come to my mind. Now, it may not always be true, but generally speaking, when a person is promoted, more responsibility comes with that promotion. Am I right or am I wrong? Normally on the job, when you're promoted, you get more responsibility. Cold, if they promote you out there to plant, you're not going to be, have less responsibility. Now, you may not have to work as hard, so to speak, but the responsibility, just like being a foreman, he doesn't work as hard with his hands, but he's got a lot more responsibility on his hands. And we as God's people, knowing that God has saved us by his grace, getting ready to take us out of this world and take us home, I believe he's given us a responsibility to those that are around us, a responsibility to one another, a responsibility to the church, a responsibility to the sinner, and a responsibility to the Savior that loved us and gave himself for us. The Bible, when you talk about the word deliver, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to spend a little bit of time. The Bible said, in 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. So you and I, before we got saved, we were sentenced to die. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. This death is not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. It's a second death the Bible talked about. And in other words, beloved, let me just say it like this. God's people are fixing to be promoted. But sinner folks are fixing to be demoted. They think many times they've got it hard here. But I'm going to tell you what, people in hell would give anything for the best spot on, or the worst spot on planet Earth, just to get back to planet Earth. And they're going the other way. They're not going to be promoted, but demoted. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. There's that word trust again. This whole message was birthed out of faith versus fretting. In this chapter, you see some that are believing God, and you see some that are just wringing their hands, and we don't know what to do. Some that are what the Bible calls anxious, and they don't know what to do. But God's people are to trust the Lord, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. We've been delivered. The deliverance in this verse of Scripture here, we had the sins of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us. If you notice, that's a past tense, delivered. It's done. From so great a death. And doth deliver, that's a present tense. He's doing something in our lives right now in the area of deliverance. And in whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. That's where the promotion comes in. I'll get to it in just a minute. But going back to been delivered, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We're being delivered from the power of sin, and we will yet be delivered from the very presence of sin. When I saw that word yet, when I was studying, I thought about Brother Aaron's message the other night. He said we need yet faith. You remember that? Amen. And the Word of God said we will yet trust that He will yet deliver us. We've been delivered. The Bible said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I listened to Colt preach today on a CD, and he was talking about that new creature, that new man, talking about how God delivered Saul on the road to Damascus. Amen. How that He brought him under conviction and sent a man to tell him and share with him that Christ is the answer. And beloved, listen, if you're saved, you know that you have been delivered from the penalty of sin. The Bible said to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Honey, that night when He saved me, it was settled right there in the heart and the mind of God that I'll never face the wrath of God. Beloved, listen, the tribulation, there's people mixed up about it. Some's got the church going all the way through it. Some's got the church going halfway through it. But aren't you glad, thank God, we're not going into the tribulation. Amen. The Lord's going to take us out of this mess before that ever starts. Amen. So we've been delivered. We're being delivered. The Bible said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. There is no temptation taken you, the Bible said, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Think about that tonight. Every time you and I are tempted, God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make you a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. In other words, we've been delivered. Yes, we have. We're being delivered. Yes, we are. But thank God there's a deliverance out there on the horizon that we're waiting for as the children of God. The Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Megan's request for the children a while ago. Listen, it's important. Beloved, listen, the only way they're going to be able to stand in the evil day is put on the armor of God. They're going to have to know what thus saith the Word of God. Not what thus saith the preacher. Not what thus saith the Baptist church. But what thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to help them in the days ahead. And then we trust that the Bible said He will yet deliver us, who delivered us from so great a death. He doth deliver, in whom we trust He will yet deliver us. I'll give you three things right here hurriedly. Number one, there was a price paid for our promotion. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In Galatians chapter number 1, the Bible said, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Let me say this tonight. Listen, there was a price paid so that you and I can make it out of this world safely into the presence of God. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You just wait till after a while. I'm going to give you some things I never thought about, but I've read, and it's been a blessing to me. There's a price that was paid for our promotion. And then there's a place that's made for our promotion.
You say, preacher, what do you mean? God's prepared a place for us. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Why anybody in this world would want to turn that down and make it a room? I don't know. Say amen. That's what the modern Bibles. I mean, listen. What God has, the Word of God said, mind that not I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath in store for them that love him. But they're revealed to us by his Spirit. Thank God the Word of God is right. Amen. He said he went and he prepared for us a place. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am. There you may be also. If you read John chapter 17, when Jesus prayed, he prayed over and over, I will, Father, I will, that thou, those what thou hast given me can be with me. Honey, I will tell you what's true. If we could see the heart of God tonight, listen, yes, God's children want to be with him. But I believe his desire is even greater than our desire, amen? He can't wait for the youngins to get home, amen? It's going to be a blessed day when we're promoted into the presence of God. The price that was paid, the place that's made. In 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that, don't you? I'm glad there's a king, and I'm glad he has a kingdom. And I'm glad I'm part of it, amen. And we're getting ready to go see the king. I used to go to prison, and I'd be gone a couple weeks at a time. And Miss Eve will tell you it was kind of a neat rotation. But when I was home for 2 weeks, I was kind of ready to go back to prison. And then when I was in prison for 2 weeks, I was ready to go back home, amen. And we had to just had a good time. But I told the men, there's a song that says, soon and very soon, I'm going to see the king. But I'd get down near the end of those prison revivals after being gone for almost 2 weeks, and I'd tell the fellas, all right, fellas, I'm going to start singing my song. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the queen. Amen. I was excited about going home after being away. Let me ask you something tonight. Is anybody excited about going home as a child of God? This world's not our home, amen. We're just a passing through. Beloved, listen, there's a peace that he gave for our promotion. There's a man saved today because of the peace that he saw in his son's life in his dying days. He saw something that was real. Something you can't make up, something you can't manufacture. The peace of God, either you have it or you don't, amen. I tell you what, if you have it, I know where it come from, amen. God had to give you that, amen. And I talked about the peace. There's a couple of things the Lord helped me with here. It's a result of experience. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, Jesus experienced something so that you and I could have peace. Hebrews 2:9 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. When I get ready to leave this world, there's somebody that's already been there. There's somebody that's already tasted that. There's somebody, hallelujah, that's already conquered that. Amen. And beloved, that somebody is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible said, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. There's that promotion. He's going to bring his sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, you and I have a perfect captain tonight, the Lord Jesus. He's already been there. He's already experienced it. He has the authority to give that peace. He's already done that for us. Then there's the peace as a result of exaltation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 11 in Hebrews 2. In verse 11, the Bible said, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You think about that tonight. Oh, listen to me tonight. You and I ain't always done what we should have done. We ain't always thought what we should have thought. We ain't always looked at what we should have looked at. We ain't always listened to what we should have listened to. Amen. But I'll tell you this right now. Hallelujah. There's never been a time since I've been washed in the blood of Jesus that he was ashamed to call me brethren. We were born into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Beloved, this family's going somewhere. Amen. I learned something a while ago watching the evening news. You think about this for just a minute. I learned this about Barbara Bush and her husband. That would be George H.W., wouldn't it? The older. Listen to this. This will tell you something about their character. They were family-oriented. And they always stayed home on holidays so that their security detail could go home and be with their families. That blessed my heart, amen. I don't know why anybody that's saved wouldn't want to gather in the house of God with the family. Amen. There's a lot of people, I don't know why they want to go to heaven. Why in the world would you want to go to heaven, spend eternity with a bunch of people you don't even want to go to church with three times a week? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, it's good to be saved. There's a peace. It's a result of experience, but it's a result of exaltation. He that sanctified, they are sanctified of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, watch this, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now listen, the Lord just showed me something right there. How many remembers that verse? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know what this is? This is Jesus singing right in the midst. Read it. He's right in the midst. Amen. That ought to be reason enough to sing the best you can. Amen. For the God and his glory. Amen. Because Jesus is right in our midst. It's a result of expectation. I'm about done tonight. But look what we're expecting. The Bible said in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now wait a minute. That said there, he had it. You know what had means? Past tense. That means he don't have it anymore. Amen. Somebody said one time, and I never shall forget this, Brother Cole. Somebody preached and said the devil's the only one he knowed of. It didn't even have the keys to his own business. Amen. Jesus took them away from him. Amen. He has the keys of death and hell. The word of God said, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You say, preacher, what do you mean? When that person that's saved by the grace of God is expecting to go and be with the Lord, it brings about a peace. That promotion brings about a peace. I'm going to read you some things in a minute. I believe it'll be a blessing to your heart and to your life. The word of God said, for the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. I'm not going to turn there tonight, but in Revelation 21, the bride is going to meet the bridegroom. Honey, we're going to be arrayed in fine garments, white and clean. Ain't that right? Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord is going to be so proud of us, and we're going to be so proud of him. Hallelujah. It's going to be a scene you will never forget. I believe we'll worship him like we've never worshiped him. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe he's worthy, don't you? We'll be hearing that song, worthy is the lamb that was slain because he redeemed us to God by his own precious blood. The Bible said there's no more pain. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more sickness. For the former things are passed away. He said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Listen, he made every one of us new down on the inside when we got saved by the grace of God. He's still working on the outside, but one day the outside will be finished and everything around us will be brand new. What a blessing when we get promoted to our real home. I want to read you some things in closing tonight. This blessed my heart. I suppose everybody in the room has heard of a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon, right? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I didn't even know this. If I did, I'd forgotten it, and I have forgotten a lot. But this man was only 57 years old when he left this world. How many of you all knew that? I didn't know it either. That's young. Cole, when I was your age, I thought it was old. But I'm already in debt a year if 57's old. Amen. Amen. I can think something really great about 57, 55, Chevrolet, 57, Chevrolet, them nice cars, buddy. Amen. Amen. They had some real iron in them, didn't they? They had some steel in them. Amen. These ones you get today, you shut the door and the door skin goes, amen. Ain't got enough steel in them for nothing. Let me tell you some things about Spurgeon. He died at 1105 on January 31st, 1892 in Menton, France, with Susanna by his side. 57-year-old pastor succumbed to kidney failure and fell into a coma from which he did not recover. I want to give you this now. I want you to listen to some things. Thanks to the newly invented telegraph, word of Spurgeon's death circled the globe. More than 100,000 people attended his funeral. Every store, listen to this, every store on the route of his funeral procession closed for the day out of respect. Boy, wouldn't it be good to have some respect once again like that. B.H. Carroll, the founder of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, said if every crowned head in Europe had died that night, the event would not be so momentous as the death of this one man. The young may die, the old must die. But death didn't catch Spurgeon off guard. He had spent his whole life dying every day. For him, dying well, it required living well, living in the presence of Christ. Here are 10 quotes from Spurgeon for those who want to die well. How many of y'all want to die well? But you say, preacher, I thought you was talking about promotion. I am. That's what death is for the child of God. There's one of these statements in here I'm telling you, beloved, listen, man, did it speak to my heart. How many believes, listen, that we shouldn't be envious? Well, just listen for that word in these statements. You might change your mind. All depends on what we're being envious about. Here's these 10 statements. To be prepared to die is to be prepared to live. How many believe that's true? The second statement. He said it is the very joy of this earthly life to think that it will come to an end. That reminds me, Brother Dan, of what I preached in your daughter's funeral about that appointment. Amen. If we really believe that we have an appointment with death, amen, it's appointed unto men once to die, then we really believe on the other side it's a whole lot better than on this side. That's what Spurgeon said right here. It's the very joy of this earthly life to think, thank God we're not going to be here forever. It's going to come to an end. The third thing he said was the best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, because it's the one that's nearest heaven. Think about that. The fourth thing he said, the only people for whom I have felt any envy have been the dying members of this very church. He'd watch his people leave out of this world and so walked with God that he envied them. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? The fifth thing he said, if I do not think of death, this sounds like something Billy Mitchell would say. He said, if I do not think of death, yet death will think of me. I talked to a man one time who's lost. As far as I know, he's still lost. I said, we're going to die one of these days. He said, I don't want to think about it. That's exactly what he said to me. I don't want to think about it. Beloved, listen, I don't believe we ought to be running around just all morbid-like, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe those that are prepared are those that's thought about it. We're going to meet God one day after a while. The seventh thing that he said, or the sixth thing he said, it's not a loss to die. It is a lasting, perpetual gain. The seventh thing he said, let us learn to hold loosely our dearest friends. Think about this. I've thought about so many, amen, that God, friends that God has given me down through the year. He said, let us learn to hold loosely our dearest friends. Let us love them, but let us always learn to love them as dying things. We're not going to be here forever. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can take that and probably make something bad out of it. But Brother Colt, when you and I fellowship after a while, just a little bit, amen, talking about that work, if we've got it on our mind, this might be the last time we see one another. That'll make our fellowship sweeter than it's ever been. If we'd get it in our mind, listen to me tonight. I'm not trying to play on your emotions. We didn't know not too long ago that maybe Brother Merv's been to church for his last time. Ain't that right, Brother Ralph? What a cherish every time we can shake one another's hand, hug one another's neck. We're somebody going somewhere. We're the people of God. He said it's a grand thing to see a man dying full of life. Kind of reminded me of what Joseph said to me the other day. He said, oh, I'd like for you to preach my funeral. I said, Joseph, I'd be honored to. I said, is there anything in particular you want? I'll never forget this as long as I've got a memory. He said, just do what you've always done. There were some rough spots in that funeral, Brother Ralph. But I used Joseph to get that off of my back, amen. Not too many people warn people about hell in a funeral. I was preaching a firefighter's funeral. You and I can't quench the fire, amen. But I tell you what we can do. We can head people off at the pass. Tell them there's a fire out yonder. I got down to the end of that message and I said, well, I guess what I've been trying to say for the last 30 or 40 minutes is what I've been trying to do is just do what I've always done. That's point people to Jesus and keep them out of the fire. It's a grand thing to see a man dying full of life. Number nine, he said, he who learns to die daily while he lives will find it no difficulty to breathe out his soul for the last time. Number 10, all the glories of midday are eclipsed by the marvels of sunset. You can say whatever you want to. I believe a man have to walk with God to write such things as what's been written right here that I've read tonight. If you visit Spurgeon's tomb in London's West Norwood Cemetery, you'll see a stone Bible cemented open to this verse, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That's awesome, isn't it? How fitting. The same verse God used for Spurgeon's second birth will witness his third birth when the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. We're fixing to get promoted, youngins. I would not mind if I were condemned. He said, I would not mind if I were condemned to live 50 years more and never allowed to speak but these five words. He said, I wouldn't mind. Christ died for the ungodly. He said, I wouldn't mind to live 50 years more if all I could speak was five words. Christ died for the ungodly. How many remembers the day when you realized you were ungodly? Sinfulness came into the presence of holiness. Sinfulness melted in repentance. Godly sorrow. A new birth took place. And beloved, only people that's born again is going to experience this promotion. The Bible said it's because they trust in Him. May we, like Spurgeon, die while we live, knowing that through Christ we shall live after we die. Let me read the verse one more time. And the Lord shall help them. How many's ever watched somebody that you love leave this world? How many's ever watched a Christian, somebody leave this world that loved the Lord? Did the Lord help them? The Lord ain't going to take me that far, Brother Gary, and say, you're on your own now. He said He'd go with me all the way, even to the end of the world. The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. You know what I want to do? I want to do like the disciples. They asked Jesus for two things. Only two that I can think of that they asked Him for. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us how to pray. He's not talking about a course on prayer. Teach us the importance of praying. Teach us to do that in our life. Teach us to pray. And then the other thing they asked for, they said, Lord, increase our faith. I'd hate to be promoted with little faith, wouldn't you? May God help us, amen, to realize He's coming. May God help us to be serving Him, looking to Him, living for Him when He comes.